have really tried to mind the Lord and be sensitive to what it is the Lord would have for us this evening. I do know that we're supposed to eat something here in a little while. How many of you have ever been to, do y'all call it, what do you call it, Aunt Millie's or Aunt Millie's? What do y'all call it? Hey, you been to Aunt Millie's? I wanted a piece of pie this afternoon, and they brought a whole whole pie. That piece of pie was that big. I'm a wedge now, that thick. I had three diabetic fits on the way up here, and I'm not making fun. I'm telling you, man, the Lord helped us this afternoon when we were eating. What a blessing. I'm glad to be here. Thank you, Pastor, for letting us be in the service this afternoon and being in this great church. Thank you for that. And it's a great joy and a great privilege to be here preaching with these men, and I mean that too from all my heart. Thank you, Brother Foote. I mean that. Philippians chapter 3, let's stand together. I want to read two familiar verses to you, and I want to give you a simple thought. I won't give you any great exposition of the Scriptures this afternoon, but I'd like to leave you with a thought here before supper. You call it supper or dinner around here. Listen, I'm struggling. You need to pray for me. I get up above that Mason-Dixon line, and I'm telling you, I want grits, I want greens, I want cornbread, sweet tea. You can't find it around here. You can't find it. So you pray for me. I'll be struggling for a little while. Bible says in verse number 13, notice this now. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I want to talk to you this afternoon in light of the fact that we are 11 days into this new year. I want to preach on this thought. Starting again in 2010. Now, I want you to understand, I didn't preach this in a watch night service. Lord, help me. Just a little thought. Listen, starting again in 2009 is gone. And by the way, I want to let you know I'm glad it is. 2009 was not the best year of my ministry nor of my life. But I want to say to you, as Preacher Cottle was singing here just a little while ago, even after saying all of that, God has still been good. After everything that we've been through, after everything that we've encountered, the ups and the downs, the ins and the outs, I want to let you know, and I want to let the devil know, that I am still glad that I'm saved. I'm still glad I'm on my way to heaven. And by the grace of God, 2010 is going to be a whole lot better than 2009. You can be seated. Let's pray together. Father, we love you. Thank you again for the privilege to stand behind the sacred desk. Lord, we don't take it lightly that you'd allow us to be in this place. Lord, we realize the great honor that it is to stand here. We thank you for the good pastor who has opened up the doors of his church that we might come here and meet together and fellowship with one another. Thank you for all of these great churches that have come to assemble this afternoon. Thank you for every good man of God who's come this afternoon to get encouraged and be helped this afternoon. Thank you for the good word of God that Pastor Helps already brought this afternoon, how it's encouraged our hearts. Now, Lord, I pray now that as we go further into the service that you might help, Lord, this your servant to be a blessing. I pray, God, that you'd smite the heart of that one that may be here that's not saved. May they come to Christ before it's eternally too late. Thank you again now for, Lord, counting us faithful, putting us into the ministry. We thank you and say all these things and pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Made a New Year's resolution. Raise your hand. Some of you made a resolution that you were going to do this. Some of you wouldn't come out and say that you made a resolution, but you in your mind and in your heart, you thought, well, you know what? I've been battling a little bit this bulge a little bit. Now, I'm going to try to cut back, and I'm going to do something about, maybe trying to lose a little weight, or I'm going to do this, and I'm going to change some things. Maybe you thought that, you determined there were some areas in your life that you were going to change around. I thought about the spiritual aspect of this, and I thought to myself, how many of us made some determinations last year this time that we were going to change some things, that we were going to do some things differently, so that by the grace of God, when it came this time of year, next year, that we would be able to look back with joy and rejoice in that that God has done. Maybe I thought about this. I thought, you know, how many of us, and let me just say this, I believe that God's people ought to set goals. I think that you and I, as the people of God, ought to set goals to try to accomplish something. I don't know if you're in the habit of writing things down or if you write your goals down on paper, but I would dare say this afternoon that it would probably serve us all well that if we would take time and do that very thing, so that maybe we could have a checklist to look back over the year and look and see what it is that God has done. I thought to myself, you know, we ought to set some goals this year, and this is not necessarily the message, but I do want to throw this out to you. I believe with all of my heart there's some things that we ought to determine that we're going to do this year and change about the things, or maybe the things that we didn't do last year. First of all, I thought, you know, it'd be a good thing. Now, I know this goes without saying, but it'd be really good for you and I to determine that we're going to read the Word of God through this year. How many of us last year said maybe we're going to try to read the Bible every day, but maybe we failed. Maybe we didn't reach that standard. You know what we ought to do this year? We ought to determine that we're going to read the Bible through this year. We ought to determine this year we're going to pray every single day. Now, this is so elementary, but I want to get where I want to be here in just a moment. We ought to determine that we're going to pray every day. I know that, listen, we as Bible believers and we as Christians, that should go without saying. But you'd be surprised this afternoon how many people are not praying every day. You'd be surprised at the people that sit on the pews of independent Baptist churches that don't read their Bible every day. We know that if we're going to be all that we need to be for the glory of God, we're going to have to study the Bible, read the Bible, learn the Bible, hide the Word of God in our hearts. But so many of God's people are not doing that. And it's no doubt that that's probably why the churches, many churches, are in the shape that they're in. It's because we are not the students of the Word of God. We're not praying like we should. Listen, many people have become lackadaisical in their attendance to the house of God. I've seen in the short time that I've been pastoring, 9 years almost now, I've been pastoring. Many of these men have been in the ministry 50 years. Brother Foote was talking about Brother Seymour, how long they've known each other. Listen, I think it was Brother Foote and Brother Seymour and Moses and Noah, all that crowd run around together. I mean, they've been knowing each other at least 100 years. I mean, so, but listen, you'll be surprised. Have these men sit down, talk with them, ask them how things have changed in the time that they've been pastoring. And I guarantee you there'd be some things that this afternoon that would shock you. But I know in the short time that I've been pastoring, I've seen people become lackadaisical in their attendance to the house of God. Folks, I'm gonna tell you, it ought not to be that way. If we're closer now to the coming of Christ than we are, it ought not to be that we're becoming less and less, doing less and less, but it ought to be that we're doing more and more, amen. Listen, we ought to be faithful to the house of God. Listen, we ought to determine in our heart that this year, by the grace of God, we're going to lead someone to Christ. Hey, how many of you can raise your hand? I won't have you to do that. But how many of you can raise your hand and say, I led someone to Christ this past year? I was able to take the Word of God out. I was able to take the Scriptures out and show someone how to know that they're saved by the grace of God. Church, I'm going to tell you something. Listen to me and listen well. Listen, we need to set goals in our lives that we're going to try to accomplish some things for the glory of God. We ought to lead someone to Christ. We ought to be faithful to the house of God. We ought to be praying every day. We ought to be reading the Word of God every single day. We ought to be getting involved with a ministry. Hey, listen, I know these preachers and they're ministry oriented. They're always thinking up some way, something that they can do so that people can use the gifts that God has given them to be involved in the work of God. Listen, I know as a pastor, people are not necessarily lining up at my office door and saying, preacher, can I do this? Can I do that? Is there something that I can do? And so pastors are praying and they're seeking the will of God and saying, Lord, what can I do this year? I want to do something so that this person can get involved. I want to do something so this person can use their talents for the Lord. Lord, what can I do? And we're always thinking of some new ministry because we want to see God's people get involved with the work of God. Church, I'm going to tell you, listen to me. It's a sad thing when we look around at our churches and there's very few people, it seems, that are involved with what's going on in the service of God. Someone said one time that it is about 10% of the people are doing 100% of the work in most of our Baptist churches. Listen, it ought not to be that way, church. It ought to be that everyone is involved. It's not just the job of a pastor. It's not just the job of a deacon. It's not just the job of a Sunday school teacher or a bus worker. But it's all of us getting involved with what's going on. We got to get involved with some ministry. And let me take it a step further. It might be that God's put in your heart to start a new ministry in your church. Well, I'll tell you what, one of the things that's been a blessing in our church that we started, it's not a new thing, but it was new for us. Some of the ladies wanted to be involved with the ministries of our church. And one afternoon, one evening, I was preaching, Brother Foote, and I just threw out there. I said, you know what, some of you ladies ought to get you a cooler. And you ought to put some drinks in it. And you ought to put some snacks in it. And you ought to grab you a handful of gospel tracts. And you ought to go down to the local hospital. And you ought to go to some of these waiting areas. And you ought to go in there. You don't have to go in there preaching. But just go in there and hand them a snack. Offer them a drink. And hand them a gospel tract. And let them know somebody cares about them. Somebody's concerned about their loved one that's in surgery. You say, preacher, what's the big deal? I'm going to tell you what the big deal is. I'm telling you, there's a world outside the doors of our churches that needs something from God. There's a world outside the doors of this church that need to know how good God is. They need to know the same Jesus you know. They need to know that, my friend, their sins can be forgiven if they'll only come to Christ. I'm simply saying that this year is a year of possibility. This year is a year of opportunity. This year brings with it another year of promise. I thank God for the privilege that the Lord has given me. And He's counting me faithful. He's given me another opportunity to do something for Him. I failed Him miserably in 2009. I missed the mark in 2009. That's some areas of my life I wish I could go back and do some things differently. But by the grace of God, honey, I'm going to tell you, if the Lord will let me live a few more days, I'm going to try by the grace of God to do something in 2010. I don't know if the Lord will give me another day. I don't know if He'll give me another year. But if He does, buddy, I tell you, 2010 is going to be different from 2009. I'm going to make something and take advantage of this time if the Lord will let me. Amen. Now you say, preacher, what are you talking about? I'm talking about, listen, starting again in 2010. I'm talking about setting goals. And I'm talking about how are you going to reach your goals. The scripture here that I read in your hearing this afternoon, I believe, holds a threefold ingredients, if you will, to what we can do if we're going to reach our goals in 2010. Notice with me what the Bible says here. If we're going to reach our goals, to reach our goals entails, number one, that we forget our past. The Bible says, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind. Number one, if you're going to reach your goals, if you're going to get past 2009, if you're going to do something in 2010 that's going to bring honor and glory to the Lamb of God. Rachel, what am I going to have to do? First of all, you're going to have to forget your past. I want to say to you about your past. Number one, your past, if you let it, will distract you. Did you know that there are people sitting and lining the pews of good churches just like this one here all across America that have become distracted by their past? They're looking at their past right now. They said, well, I failed God. I didn't read my Bible through, so they just put them through their Bible down. They quit reading their Bible because because they missed a day. And they missed a maybe reading the Word of God a couple of days. And now all of a sudden they're not reading the Bible. They're not even trying. Hey, listen, they didn't pray. They missed a day of praying. Now all of a sudden they're not praying anymore. And they've become distracted. You know, I know people right now, even preachers who got distracted. Maybe the things of the ministry, maybe the church is not going exactly like they'd like it to. I'm going to tell you, every church is not running 1,000, by the way. Every church may not be like this church right here at Faith Baptist. Praise God. Hey, you've got a great ministry here. You've got a great man of God. You ought to thank God for it. I'm going to tell you something. Listen, even preachers, good men right now are becoming distracted. They're getting critical. Man, they've lost the joy of their salvation. They're wondering, why in the world am I even doing what I'm doing? I'm telling you, listen to me now. Hey, listen, if you let it, your past will distract you. I'm telling you, there are people right now sitting in the, under the sound of my voice that you failed God. You missed the mark. You didn't do all that you should have done, and you've allowed your past to distract you. I'll let you know, the devil likes that tonight. He likes the fact that you're sitting down. People are stepping down from the ministry. They're stepping down from bus routes. They're stepping down from Sunday school classes. And some of you may be here this afternoon, and you're contemplating doing the same thing. I know missionaries that are getting ready to come off the field. They're getting ready to quit. They're getting ready to give it up. They say, man, I've been out here knocking these doors. I've been out here trying to reach souls. I've been out here trying to plant a church and build a work for God. And God put it in my heart to do it. And now things are not going like they hoped that they would, and all of a sudden they're ready to quit and come home. I'll tell you, church, I'll encourage you. Listen, if you let your past will distract you, it'll debilitate you, it'll cause you, my friend, to despair and get depressed and discouraged and quit. But it doesn't have to be that way. Hey, listen to me, we're all in this thing together. I'm telling you, I've been through some hard times. I've had some dark days. There have been some times I wanted to quit and give up. But I want to let the devil know, I want to let you know, that I'm still in this thing. I hadn't give up yet. I hadn't jumped out of the ship. And I'm trying to encourage you, let you know, you don't have to quit. You don't have to jump out of the ship. Stay in this thing and start again in 2010. People are debilitated by their past. Their past, things have not turned out like they wanted it to. I wish I had a wand I could come and listen, wave around my church members and help them. But all I can tell them is look to Jesus. Don't give up. Remember why you're doing what you're doing. You're doing it because of Him. We love Him because He first loved us. Brother, listen to me, Brother Foote. If you desire to, you can sit down. You're what, 70, 80, 90, what are you? I mean, listen, if you wanted to, you could quit. You could give up, and most preachers, most church members, most of the people that you know would say, man, he's been faithful. He's done a work for God. Man, he's tried to be a blessing. He's given his life to the ministry of God. But God's put a burning desire down in the gable into his soul. And I'm telling you, he still wants to do something for the Lord. I'll tell you something. Listen to me. You can do something for God if you want to tonight. But you've got to make up your mind that you're not going to live in your past. Listen, your past can define you if you allow it to, but it doesn't have to. Don't let your past define you. Don't let your past distract you. Don't let your past debilitate you and rob you of all that you could have done. Man, this year brings possibilities. This year brings new opportunities. Take advantage of it, amen. Secondly, I want you to see that, listen, reaching our goals entails forgetting the past. Number two, it entails embracing the present. The Bible says here, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. You see, we had to take advantage and embrace the present. You see, here's the thing. If you're always focusing on your past, you will never realize the present. If you're always looking back, you'll never see what's going on right now. Hey, listen, what does that phrase, carpe diem, does it mean seize the day? It means take advantage of the time? Hey, listen, I want you to see something here. First of all, I want you to look at the moment that you're living in. Did you know that God has brought you to this place at a particular time, in a particular space in this in the space of time right now? The Lord has brought you to this place. Listen, He didn't ask Paul to do it. He didn't ask some other great man of God to do it. He's asked you to do it. He's got you here right now doing what you're doing. I'm going to tell you, preachers, you listen to me. Sometimes we had to stop and we had to take evaluation and examine where we are, because if we don't, we'll start looking around and we'll start thinking, man, am I doing? Hey, we got to look at where we are. Understand the moment. Hey, listen to me. Look at where you are tonight. Understand what's going on right now in your life. God has brought you here. His hand is working. You may not always see Him. You may not always know where He is. You may not always know exactly what He's trying to show you. But I promise you tonight, you mark her down, that God, my friend, is working on your behalf. He's working for His glory. And my friend, He's working for your good. And if you'll let Him this evening, then you'll embrace this opportunity and embrace the moment that you have. It's untelling what God could do with you. You can't look at the past, because you'll miss the present. People right now that are sitting down because they got focused on the past, they're not taking advantage of the time. Think about it, Sunday school teacher. What happens with the 4 and 5 and the 6-year-old Sunday school teacher gets discouraged and says, I'm going to quit. I'm not going to quit church. I'm not going to quit going to the house of God. I'm going to be faithful, but I'm just going to step down. Because maybe things haven't turned out exactly right. What's going to happen? Well, there's going to be some 4 and 5 and 6-year-olds that are not going to get the help. Yes, we can put someone else there. Yes, they can still hear the Word of God. But I'm going to tell you something. When God puts it in your heart and God works in your heart to do a particular thing for Him, Nobody is going to do it quite like you will. I believe that. You got to understand. We have to understand where we are. Listen, I could jump out of the ship right now and quit. Listen, I could go into evangelism, or I could go into mission work, or I could do some other thing, and God could still do something with my life. But I don't want to miss the will of God, because right now God has brought me to this place as the pastor of New Hope Baptist Church in Walnut Cove, North Carolina, and I don't want to miss the will of God and the opportunity. I think about this. Some years ago, I thought about resigning the church. I think about that a lot, by the way. My wife's already resigned 3 times, amen. But I thought about 4 or 5 years ago, I really thought seriously about resigning. You say, preacher, what? Well, so what? It wasn't a little bit later that God really helped me and encouraged my heart, and I stayed in there. And man, we'd been working and we'd been soul winning and we'd been handing out tracts and we'd been knocking on doors and we hadn't seen a lot of fruit from it. But one day this young lady walked down the aisle and she come to Christ and she got born again and she got involved with the work of God and is still doing by the grace of God. And listen, trying to do what she can. And listen, you say, preacher, what is it? If I got out of the will of God, it's possible that young girl wouldn't have got saved. I don't know, but I don't want to miss the opportunity. I don't want to be the cause of my friend somebody messing up and not getting all that they could. Listen, we need to take time and embrace the present. Look at the moment and live in the moment. Some people are never satisfied. I remember the story that was told by Pastor Robertson over in Walkertown, North Carolina. And he told us a story similar to what I've already said about the lady had been to Bible college. And she came back to the church and she was teaching a primary class. And in that primary class, she'd been doing something. I mean, listen, been a blessing. By the way, it's a blessing when you can drop your children out into Sunday school and you can go to a Sunday school class and know that they're going to get some help. Know that they're going to get the Word of God. And she came to him and she said, "Preacher, listen, I've been to Bible college, and I've been asking him to really do something with me. But it seems like here I am just stuck in a primary class." He said, "Do you only hear what you're saying? God has prepared you. God has been working in your life. God has been moving in your life. You've been faithful. You've tried to prepare yourself. And God is giving you the privilege, my friend, and the responsibility." I want to tell you something this afternoon. I'm not fit to pastor the 100 or so that I have. I'm not fit to have them. I'm not worthy to pastor them. I'm telling you, God has been good enough to let me do something for Him. But sometimes we forget, man, hey, we're just servants. We're just ministers that God has allowed to do something for Him. Hey, you need to understand the moment that you're living in, and you need to live in it. Stop looking at the past and embrace the moment that you're living in. Are you embracing the present? Are you taking full advantage of what it is right now that God has you doing right now? There's nothing wrong with having the goals. Listen, young people, young men, listen, God might be dealing with you to preach the Word of God. That's wonderful. And maybe God's been working and said, "Man, I want you to go off to some Bible college, and I want you to get an education, and there's nothing wrong with that." But wait a minute. You can do something right now. And sometimes young people get the idea that, well, when I get grown and when I get married or when I have children, then I'll start serving God. It don't have to be that way. Sometimes moms and dads say, "Well, when the children get grown up, then I can really start doing it." No, you can do something right now. Whatever station of life that you're in, you can do something for God. I say, first of all, listen, you got to forget your past. If you're going to accomplish anything in 2010, you got to forget your past. Number two, you're going to have to embrace the present. And number three, you're going to have to look to the future. The Bible says here, in our portion of Scripture, it says here, in verse number 14, "I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." We've got to press toward the future. We've got to look to the future. We've got to set goals. What is it that you're going to accomplish this year? What is it that you want to do for God? Did you know, listen to me, do you know that if you desire to do a work for God, He'll help you to do it? If you want to do something for Him, He will let you. Sometimes we think, "Well, the Lord, you know, He'll never let me do this, or I can't ever do that." Why? God can take you just like you are and do something with you. David made mistakes, didn't he? Moses made mistakes, didn't he? All through the Scriptures tell us stories of people who failed. But God still used their lives. You need to set goals. And by the way, you need to set them high. You need to set high goals. And let me say this. You need to stay focused on those goals. Are you focused this evening? Are you focused to do that God has put in your heart to do? Are you focused? Do you have, listen, did you know the Bible says, Jesus said that those that put their hand to the plow that look back are not fit for the kingdom of heaven. And some of us tonight, again, we've got our hand to the plow. We've started off. We started running the good race. We started fighting the good fight. We're in this thing. But now we're starting to look back. And by the way, when you start looking back over your shoulder, you're not going to plow straight. It is an impossibility. I just believe that. And by the way, you don't have to get off much, or you'll be off a lot. You start off a little bit, before you know it, hey, I was down at the coast fishing some time back, maybe 3 or 4 years ago, and we were in the boat, and I just more or less begged the guy. I said, "Man, I want to go out there." I said, "I want to go fish, man. I want to go fish." He said, "You see that over there?" And he pointed out all across the horizon. "Boy, that is the biggest black cloud you ever seen." I said, "Man, that's all right. Don't worry about that." I said, "I believe it's going the other way." He said, "Well, We'll give her a try. We went out a little ways, threw that throw net out there, got us some mud in us, and we headed out across there and headed out toward the, we're in the inlet. And we started out there fishing a little bit. Next thing you know, biggest crack of thunder you've ever heard, biggest flash of lightning you've ever seen, went across the sky. You know what happened? As soon as he heard that thunder, he looked at me. He didn't say it, but he's thinking it. I told you. Thankfully, we had enough good sense to go ahead, pack it up right then, and start heading back in. But the bad thing is we run straight into it. We're heading down through there, man. I'm talking about raining sideways. I mean, I'm talking about waves, wind blowing. I mean, I thought I was Gilligan. You don't know who that is, do you? Okay. Anyhow, y'all don't have television up here. Man, it was wild. It was raining so hard that I got in behind him so that it wouldn't rain. The rain would hit me in the face. And we was trying to follow the GPS. The GPS let us out, and we were trying to follow that line back in. But it wasn't long, Brother Foote. We got off course. So what happened? We run aground. We got over there in the sand, on the sandbar. Thank God, I'm just glad we was able to get off of it. I didn't want to have to try to get out, paddle out, and I didn't want to do that. Preacher, what he said, I'm saying it doesn't take much. You can get off course. You got to keep your eyes on the prize. You got to keep your eyes on, do you have your eyes on him? Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Well, you got your eyes on this evening. What is it this afternoon that has you distracted? What is it this afternoon that's got you maybe off of course, maybe got you out of focus, maybe all of a sudden now that you started out so strongly, running so swiftly toward, maybe all of a sudden, now all of a sudden you're not running quite as swiftly as you once were. What is it? You failed? Well, guess what? Join the club. Well, preacher, I didn't do all that I should last year. Hello? I didn't either. Preacher, I didn't win. I didn't win 50 people to God last year. I didn't either. I didn't turn the world upside down at the place that I work at. Well, preachers, hey, preacher, I went off and preached, but I didn't preach it. I didn't see a great revival break out. Well, guess what? I didn't either. What does that mean? Does that mean you just sit down? Does that mean you quit? Does that mean you give up? No. No. No, because we can start again. We have an opportunity now. We can't do a thing about 2009. We can't do a thing about yesterday. But we can do something about right now. You can get right with God. You can take care of business. You can get your focus right. You can embrace the present, the moment that you're living in. And you can say, God, you brought me to this place. I don't know why. I don't understand all of these things. But Lord, you have me here for a particular reason at a particular time. And Lord, I'm going to take advantage of it. I hope that you won't let this opportunity pass you by. Take advantage of this time now. And it's no telling what the Lord will do with you this year. Will you start again? If you fall flat on your face, why don't you get up? If you miss the mark today, why don't you get up and go forward? Why don't you get up and do something? Why don't you get up and say, by your help, I'm going to do my best to right now go forward. What will it be? Let's stand to our feet. As Brother Foote comes, maybe the Lord spoke to your heart. Maybe you need to do business tonight. God has made no mistakes. He's given us an opportunity. He's given you an opportunity. What will you do with it? Father, help us now. Touch us now. Move in this invitation time now. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
We're saying, have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. This altar.